T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to the morning briefing for Thursday, September 21st, 2017. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer. And today, it should go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Another great show is on the way. First, we're going to speak to our VA reporter, Jonathan Kopanger, about the latest happenings over at the department, including a sense of deja vu you might be feeling as the once-fired head of the D.C. Medical Center has now been fired. Again. We're also going to check in with Jake Hughes on how his no-smoking crusade is going. And then, the new national commander of AMVETS will be live in studio. Marion Polk is going to be alongside our friend Joe Schinelli. Polk is only the second Coastie to lead AMVETS, and he's going to fill us in on what his plan of action is for his time in office over the next year. Later, Adam Sandoval of Scootin' America will join us from who knows exactly where. You see, Adam is constantly on the move on his Harley Davidson with his trusty Chihuahua scooter riding on the back seat in a specially made house. So while I don't know where Adam is today exactly, I do know yesterday he was giving away another Harley to a deserving veteran through the Mission Thank You program. Adam's been working in partnership with Harley Davidson to give 8 brand new Harleys to deserving vets, and we'll find out what that's been like, who got the bike yesterday, and what drove him to do this whole thing. So I wasn't lying, was I? When do I ever lie to you, dear listener? Never is the answer to that question. So when I say we're now going to welcome our reporter, Jonathan Kopanger, into the studio, you know that that's the truth, too. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
A colorful morning to you, too.
A little bit.
Yeah, that shirt. That's one of your staples. I like that shirt.
Yeah, it's one of those that, like, I'm not even sure if it's Wednesday or Thursday today. So I just decided to wear something bright, even have bright socks to go with it.
Yeah.
So if I don't know what the day is, I'm just going to wear loud colors.
My socks are as bright as socks get for me. They're like gray with blue stripes. a little bit of that going on. Although I did just say at the top there, I guess he was zoning out there, Jake. But it is Thursday, September 21st, 2017. Just to let you know, you made it past hump day. Hump day was yesterday. And actually, before we get to anything, some pretty good news yesterday. After I left here, and actually hours after I left here, I was on the playground with my son. There's a little playground in our complex where a lot of the kids go to play after school. 2 different phone calls, one from the office of the Assistant Commandant of the Marine Corps. The Assistant Commandant has agreed to come onto the show and talk about what the Marine Corps is doing for Marines who are getting out, so you can expect that. Probably not next week, but the week after, maybe the week after that. And then this one, pretty cool. One of the officers from one of my favorite television shows, Live PD, Officer Danny Brown from Richland County, South Carolina, looks like he'll be coming on the show as well.
Awesome.
He served in the Army. There's pictures of him in Afghanistan. You know, I'd been looking for, I was like, I know there's a Live PD officer that is a veteran. I know there is one out there, and I've just got to figure out who it is, because some of them, like many veterans, don't go out broadcasting it necessarily. Mm-hmm. It may not be on their Twitter page, particularly when they have Twitter pages focused on their job and the TV show that they happen to be a part of. But Officer Brown, turns out, somebody let me know that he was a veteran, saw the pictures, tagged me in them, and he's going to be sending him an email today to try and hopefully firm up when we might be able to get him on 2-3 weeks from now.
So, cool.
Some pretty cool guests on the way. And we're also going to have, I'm guessing tomorrow, we're going to have some pretty cool information from the Vets Aid concert took place last
night. Yeah.
The one that our own Phil Briggs and Jared Watson went to, with Joe Walsh, of course, being the headliner, Gary Clark Jr., the Zach Brown Band, and Keith Urban.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Wentling from Stars and Stripes, I follow her on Twitter. She was live tweeting segments of the event, and apparently there was a moment where Keith Urban brought a Navy SEAL on stage, and then they sang a song together and stuff like
that.
So sounds like it was a pretty awesome event, and we've already got a story up on it at ConnectingVets.com. You'll know it. It's the one with the rock stars in front of the giant American flag on the front page.
A little subtle there.
Rocking for vets. So this is, that's the picture that's up there. There's going to be more information coming because we had two people with backstage access. I imagine there's going to be some video. There's going to be some print stories. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
We've also had, a few stories that have gone pretty pretty, I don't know if viral is the word, but I think now our story on Grunt Style, we talked to Dan Alaric, the founder of Grunt Style, about what they're doing down in Texas a couple weeks ago, I guess, or last week. And he told us a story of how they ended up in the small town of Woodsboro, Texas. Essentially, they were driving to another area where they were going to stage their rescue missions and their supply missions after Hurricane Harvey hit. Came across a state trooper who happened to be a veteran, who happened to recognize them and their logo. Said, hey, can you guys take just a few minutes? I want to show you this town. They got to the town, and almost as soon as they got there, decided, we're not continuing on to our next place. This is where we're going to base ourselves out of so that we can help out. A great story, and it's now been seen by a lot of people on Facebook and on the site. So if you go to ConnectingVets.com, listen, that's a great story, but so are all of the rest at ConnectingVets.com. Great may not be the word for some of them. Some of them may be distressing. And one story that we've had fairly recently is about the head of the Washington, D.C. VA Medical Center. Yeah. This guy, what's his name, Jonathan?
I don't remember what his name is.
Well, it doesn't matter now because he's been fired
again. It doesn't matter what his name is.
It doesn't matter. You remember The Rock and Wyclef had that song? It doesn't matter.
No, I don't.
You don't remember that? So it was a cute little song where The Rock joined in with Wyclef Jean of the Fugees. So the disgraced former head of the VA Medical Center, who then was rehired by the VA, forced to be rehired by some sort of labor judge.
So let me give you a little background on this. So originally this gentleman was fired, okay? And it was fired because supposedly for whistleblowing. Right. The VA says, no, you sent some secure information via email, your own personal email, which is a big no-no. You're not allowed. You are absolutely not allowed to send anything to your personal email and then do something with it. It doesn't matter what it is. This is government work. Keep it off of your personal email. That's the rule, okay?
There's been a lot of that going around these days.
There has. And Brian Hawkins, we want to be correct on who it is, which I always forget that it's Brian Hawkins because I think Brian Dawkins, who was a football player for the Philadelphia Eagles for many years, and Brian Hawkins is the one who was the head of the VA Medical Center and is at the center of this whole debacle.
So he got fired the first time, and then he fought it. And there was a little bit of shadiness going on in the way they fought it, because normally a person of his stature isn't supposed to be able to go through the certain board to rebut the firing. But somebody or some judge or somebody decided that there was enough shady stuff going on, and I use that term loosely, that he needed to be rehired. And so VA said, okay, we'll do this. Now, the reason they said okay is because he was fired before the Accountability Act was signed.
Right.
So they had to bring him back on board for, I think it was about a month or something like that, and then they refired him under the new rules. Yeah. So the interesting part is about to happen, because if this gentleman fights this, this is going to be the first real legitimate fight to the new accountability law. Mm. So I'm just going to sit down with popcorn and see how it turns out.
And you're right. It was July 28th that he was originally fired. I remember us talking about it on the show. Then I remember in August, it was a couple weeks later that he was brought back on. So, about a month ago or so. And then now he's been fired again under the new provisions, this Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act. Again, he might make the argument that he should be protected under the Whistleblower Protection Act, but the VA is saying, there's some other stuff going on here. This is not exactly it, Mr. Hawkins. But yeah, it's one of those little sense of deja vu. I was like, it seems like 2 months ago about we were talking about this guy getting fired. Here he is again. So there have been some issues over there at the DCVA Medical Center, which is supposed to be the crown jewel of the VA system because it's right here in the nation's capital. The president is right across the street. The Senate, I mean, it's...
No,
it's got some problems, and it's not the only military hospital with problems. You can also see this story on ConnectingVets.com. So, Naval Hospital Jacksonville, Florida.
Just shaking my head on this one.
For Navy sailors like myself who have been stationed in Jacksonville, and I was from 2005 to 2008, and actually lived pretty close to Naval Air Station Jacksonville, which is where the hospital is located.
Okay.
That's the big medical center. You did anything you could to not go to that hospital when I was there. Around the time when I was there, the big scandal was babies essentially being brought in for one thing and then ending up going home, being told like, oh no, they just have a little cold. They go home. And it turned out that they would have a disease, a deadly disease. And there were, I want to say at least three or four babies, very young babies, you know, within less than a year old who died. And the parents were given permission to sue Naval Hospital Jacksonville. I believe, I know it got some national attention. I believe it was on one of the big shows, like a 60 Minutes type program where they interviewed the families. So our Caitlin Kenny, our intrepid reporter, producer, Caitlin Kenny, did some research because she, during our meetings that we have every day, she heard me talking about Naval Hospital Jacksonville, as well as our managing editor who spent some time down there in Naval Hospital Jacksonville. And neither of us had very good things to say about it. I told the story yesterday where I was supposed to be getting an IV. I had the flu when I went in and they were like, you're very dehydrated. You need an IV. We don't do that right here. They couldn't do it in the emergency room for whatever reason. Yeah. So they sent me someplace else. And then a guy starts, the corpsman, I believe it was, starts shaving my arm. I'm like, what are you doing? He was like, well, you're getting this shoulder or something or other. I was like, no, I'm getting an IV, dude. This is a very simple, basic thing that you don't need to shave any body hair off of me.
So I could give you an IV.
Well, I'd rather not test out that.
I could give you an
theory.
IV, too. I mean, if we're going to
do combat lifesaver tested.
Me, too.
I'm not.
You don't want me giving an IV, though. I will tell you that if your lung collapses, I was really good at that needle into the lung thing.
Neil chest decompression.
Yeah, the chest decompression. I was good at that
one. Sounds like a party.
Oh, that course, there is a lot to be learned from that combat lifesaver course. I actually went through it. I'm going to say, well, it was 2010, so it was 7 years ago. Okay. It was one of those things on Facebook. It popped up in my memories recently, and I started thinking about it, and I was like, oh, man, that was such a great course. Of all the training that we did for deployment to Afghanistan with the Army, that training was particularly sticks out as is very good and something that I truly enjoyed. But we got off track. Yeah, we did.
The story just is
2000. So what Caitlin found, and you can read the full story at connectingvets.com. It's right there with the lovely logo of NavHosp Jax up at the top. Since 2001, they've been sued for medical negligence multiple times, including cases that resulted in deaths. 2006, so this is when I was down there, the Times Union newspaper, that's Jacksonville's newspaper, reported that the hospital was being sued for medical negligence at nearly five times the rate of civilian hospitals in Northeast Florida. In 2005, a judge awarded $61 million to the parents of a boy who suffered a brain injury during his delivery, according to the Times Union. We talked to the editor-in-chief at the Jacksonville Business Journal, who told Caitlin, it seemed that at the time there was almost this steady stream of issues coming up. And there was.
Yeah.
Numerous commanding officers of that hospital, so the people in charge of the hospital, we're talking full captains here, Navy captains, not Army Marine Corps, 03 captains. These are 06, like
full bird.
Peak of their profession, being removed from command because they could not fix the issues. So you wonder, what is it about this place? And, you know, I remember having conversations with people in the Jacksonville area about it. Those of us who that's where we went, and that's where the veterans in that area go for medical care often. The one constant is not the corpsman. It's not the commanding officers. It's not even the doctors. The constant is going to be the staff that works there that are the non-military staff that are there permanently. So we started wondering how much of the fault may lay with them. Then you look at a story like what came out yesterday where we have two ladies, and I'm going to use that term very loosely, two female corpsmen in the United States Navy, although I don't think for very much longer, caught putting pictures of themselves flipping off, you know, giving the middle finger to newborns. One of them in a video holding up a newborn and making it dance like you would with like a chicken, like a raw chicken. Putting them on social media and apparently not understanding how the internet works, thinking right. only the people that they know will see that. Mm. And you can have your settings where that's the case. Here's the thing, Jonathan. If you put something up there, if you're like, oh, everybody's going to think this is funny. It's only the people who can see it. And it's like Jonathan throwing, throwing Jake off the roof of the building.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to take that and report it to somebody if I get upset by it. Even
I would hope you would.
Well, you know, I don't know.
Depends how high the building is.
Yeah. I mean, did you survive? How bad were the injuries? There's a lot of factors that would go into me reporting that to the police. We also talked to a lawyer down there in Jacksonville. Caitlin talked to him. His name is Sean Cronin. He's a Navy veteran. His son was born at the hospital. Mm-hmm. He talked about numerous cases against the hospital, including a mother and baby who died during delivery. A recent Navy veteran underwent a procedure that resulted in severe brain damage. But he's never seen anything like this recent thing with the photos of the newborns. His quote from the story, when I saw these photographs, from my perspective, I was completely outraged because it seems to me this is an ultimate violation of trust and respect and dignity that are owed to service members and their families. The corpsmen were calling them mini Satans in the post and all sorts of just awful pictures. And
how is this even funny? I mean, I don't know. If you're going to do dumb things, you deserve to get caught.
There's gallows humor that we have in the military and in the, you know, the law enforcement world. There's a dark sense of humor that certainly is different than others. This isn't it.
I understand dark sense of humor. This is just dumb. It's just kind of dumb.
It is. It's incredibly dumb. It's not understanding how the internet works again, which at this point, and these are in the pictures, you can see at least one of them in the pictures that I've seen of these corpsmen. And it brings up the issue that, you know, I've had some vets bring up and some active duty military bring up where the people giving us our medical care in the Navy, you have your corpsmen, you have your medics in the Army. Some of them, all right, let's say you're a Navy corpsman. You go through boot camp. That's your 3 months, two to three months right there. Then you go to corpsman school, and that's another, what, 6 to 12 months, depending on what your specialty is. That person who joined up, let's say they're 18 years old.
Yeah.
They will now be 19 and in charge of something like this, like taking care of babies.
Yeah.
At 19 years old, are you fully prepared to do that? Because let's remember, Jonathan, back to when we were 19. For me, this is almost 20 years ago now that I was 19, which is very upsetting. But I was.
I want to hear it.
I was. Well, yeah. How long ago was it?
A long time.
We don't need to talk about it. I was dumb. We all were.
Yeah.
Go back to when you're 18, 19. I can list off the top of my head probably 18, 19 different things I did that could have resulted in my imprisonment or my death or anything
like
that.
Thank God they didn't have camera phones when I was 18, 19 years old.
Oh, could you imagine?
No.
Because I recently saw a picture and I don't even know where I saw it. Somebody on Facebook had it that they took at a house that I used to hang out at when I was, this is already into my 20s, like 21 or so. The outfit I was wearing. It looked like I was on a tryout for NSYNC, or like, not even NSYNC, like O-Town.
I bet I could outdo you with those pictures.
Oh, I know that you could. I am 100% certain that you could. You know, I'm very thankful that that wasn't there. But, you know, when you have someone going in, particularly when you're talking about the elderly veterans or the newborns of our active duty military who are going in for medical treatment, and you have someone who doesn't have a lot of experience, but hey, this is what we've got. These are the corpsmen that we've got there. You wonder how effective that is and how mature those people are. And at least in the case of these two, and there were some names that we saw out there. I don't see them in the story, but
You know, and they also, it's, they give a bad name to the good corpsmen that are there. Cause like you said, it's young. You're young when you go in a lot of times and you have all this responsibility. I know my own experience was very, very positive with all the corpsmen. I can't think of any corpsman, any nurse, any doctor. Well, yeah, there's one doctor that I didn't have a good experience with while I was in, but for the most part, the corpsmen were very professional. And so like this, they just get such a bad name and don't like it.
No, I don't. And you know, to Naval Hospital Jacksonville's credit, I suppose, the commanding officer released a statement saying that the hospital is aware of a video and photos posted online. It's outrageous, unacceptable, incredibly unprofessional, and cannot be tolerated. We have identified those involved. Oh, have you? They work for you and you got their pictures. Good job.
Yeah.
Sherlock. Well, that was a good investigating sharp. There. Did they bring in NCIS? That'll be the shortest episode of that show we ever see. Two staff members, not nurses, as reported on some sites. So there was some question about that yesterday. Have been removed from providing patient care, and they will be handled by the legal system and military justice. They have notified the patient's parents. So the parents are now aware of it. I'm sure they're not any happier about it because of that. But these two young doofuses, and I that's the nicest term I can use for them, these two young idiots were removed from any sort of patient interaction. And this is probably a career ender for them. I mean, they're very early in their careers. You can tell by looking at the pictures, they can't be more than early to mid 20s, probably closer to early 20s, probably a career ender for them. And good.
Yeah.
Because we don't want people like that. Like this is the kind you learn from your mistakes, but some mistakes like, you don't really get to recover from.
Well, some mistakes you deserve the punishment that comes with it and you just have to deal with it.
And when it comes to working in a maternity ward at a hospital, about the biggest mistake you can make and the biggest problem you can have is improperly interacting with the children that you are tasked with
and
taking care of.
Video of it too.
Jake, you were a tanker. I mean, if you're in a tank and you, if you end up firing your gun at another fellow tank on your side, that's the kind of mistake you're not going to recover from. That's probably a career ender.
Yep, exactly. And the frustrating thing about this is, again, like you said, why they put it on social media. It's like
kids are dumb.
Well, no, they have. It's like they don't learn. Like there was that story a couple years ago in Afghanistan where the Marines were, you know, throwing puppies off of a cliff. Yeah. And they put it on social media, or the ones with them, you know, defiling a corpse. And it's like, at what point do these people, and I know that's maybe offensive, but these kind of people not learn their lesson?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I don't know how that's offensive. Idiots you're talking about.
Idiots.
Idiots sometimes don't learn lessons. And as we know in the military, we have all types. There are great veterans, you know, and Pete, when I've had people tell me, like, I respect every veteran,
right?
I love every veteran.
You obviously haven't met some
I look
that
at
I
them,
have.
I was like, yeah, I don't. Yeah. Like, there are plenty of them that I don't care for at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's the majority I do. The majority are great, but you got to remember that there are people like these two corpsmen, again, not nurses, as was being reported by some places yesterday. It's a weird situation with Navy corpsmen. They're kind of unique in that Navy nurses are officers. However, there are corpsmen who have a nursing license. Right. There are corpsmen who can have can be an RN as a corpsman and then not be made an officer. That's not how it works. You don't just automatically get made an officer. But these two were just young corpsmen on the maternity ward at Naval Hospital Jacksonville. Again, a place that I still remember that, like looking over and being like, wow, this IV is... like, it just feels like it's smooth. It doesn't hurt. And I look over and the guy's shaving my like shoulder. I'm like, oh, that's why it feels good. Cause it's nowhere near that painful point where you guys put the needle in. Just a very, very, upsetting story. And one that you can find at connectingvets.com. Also at that site, another medical thing of interest, our own Jake Hughes, producer of this very show, who is in studio with us now, is now on, we hope, day 3 cigarette free.
Yep, day 3, and I'm being completely unprofessional. I'm chewing gum in the studio.
Oh, if I hear the gum being chewed on the microphone, if it gets to that point, don't worry. I have the ability to shut your microphone off. Because that chewing gum, the sounds of people eating.
I know.
Oh, I'm the same way.
Oh,
fingernails on a chalkboard.
My brother chews with his mouth open, and it drives me crazy.
Speaking of eating, have you noticed a difference in taste now that you haven't had cigarette for a while?
Not yet, but I'm looking forward to it because I like, it's one of the things I'm looking forward to is being able to smell and taste better. I still haven't noticed a taste because this is the thing. When you smoke, everyone says, oh dude, you reek of cigarettes. I can't smell it.
Yeah.
Cause not only my sense of smell, I'm desensitized to it, but I did have a moment this morning where I was walking my dog because he could do her business in the morning. And we walked past another person walking their dog and they were smoking. And it was that moment of, but I can't have it. There's a lot of temptation yesterday, you know, because I didn't do much. I was on the couch with my dog all day. And so it was that temptation of, oh, just go downstairs, buy one, it'll be fine. But you can't do it.
No.
There's going to be a magical moment soon for you where you're going to walk by somebody like that and you're going to smell this. And all of a sudden, you're going to realize that you hate that smell. It drives you crazy. I used to smoke. And I just remember that day when I first had that sense of, oh my gosh, this is horrible. It was wonderful. And I haven't touched one since.
Well, when he smoked, in his defense, that was before anybody knew it was bad for you.
Right.
It was back when we would just pull the tobacco out of the ground.
The military was giving it to you in just empty white packs that just had cigarettes on it. Hey, yeah.
I quit smoking in Italy. I stopped drinking I stopped smoking in Italy at the same time.
When I was in Italy, which for anybody who's been stationed in Europe, you know, those people smoke.
Yeah.
It's like constant everywhere you go. I was in Italy, Sicily specifically, which is even more smokier than the rest of Europe. when Italy decided to ban smoking inside of restaurants and bars.
How did that go over?
Not,
like a lead balloon.
Not very well, but you know who was enforcing it in a lot of places? Who? The Carabinieri.
Oh, with their guns?
Well, yeah, they always carry their guns, but the Carabinieri don't mess around. No. I once saw them full on slap a sailor who was sitting in the traffic line onto the base because they had put out what's called their lollipop. Their little, when they pull people over in Italy, they don't throw on the lights behind you. They're standing on the side of the road. They put up a little red stop sign thing and it means stop. The guy drove through it figuring, well, if I get onto the base, here's the thing. Naval Air Station Sigonella, Italian property. They can go on there anytime they want. They got to him before he even got to the gate while he was sitting in the traffic, walked up and just big slap right across the face, like, you pull over when I tell you to pull over. And it just went like that. So
I love
we're going to keep you updated on how Jake's doing. And as I mentioned yesterday, I had like 2 cigarettes left in the car. I did them when I went home. And since then, I haven't had any. So
good
since yesterday afternoon.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
I'm doing the wave for both of you.
Coming up in just a few moments, Marion Polk, new national commander of AMVETS, is going to join us in studio. Stick around right after this.
As a military veteran, you know there are things you and fellow vets understand and feel that others may not get.
That's where CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com comes in. Connecting Vets Every Day, a nationwide digital portal connecting military veterans to the information and advice we need to thrive.
Live daily briefings.
Informative and fun.
And all sorts of podcasts by veterans for veterans.
Sponsored by Freedom Mortgage and Harley Davidson.
Welcome back to the Morning Briefing, Thursday, September 21st, 2017 edition. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer, and in just a few minutes, we're hopefully going to be speaking with Adam Sandoval of Mission Thank You. That's the Harley Davidson program where they're giving away 8 free Harley Davidson motorcycles to 8 deserving veterans. We haven't had him call in yet, but hopefully that's coming up in just a moment or two. Same thing happened to us yesterday with Dave from Blanco Cigars, where every once in a while, little issues come up. Dave happened to be in Germany and got a little twisted on what time it was, is what happened there, but it happens and there's nothing you can do about it sometimes. So we've sent a message. Hopefully we'll be hearing from him in just a moment. But in the meantime, Jonathan Kopanger returns to the studio, and we're looking at ConnectingVets.com and some of the stories on there. One of the things that we do every week, and this comes out of our web gurus, Mac and Abby, I believe, in particular, it's the weekly Wednesday recipe, or weekly recipe Wednesday, as it's called on the site. Do you know what this week's is, Jonathan?
You know, I didn't look at it yet.
White House Honey Ale. Because the White House actually makes beer. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, they make beer at the White House. Now, according to the article, as far as we know, the White House Honey Brown Ale is the first alcohol brewed or distilled on the White House grounds. George Washington brewed beer and distilled whiskey at Mount Vernon. Thomas Jefferson made wine. No evidence any beer has been brewed in the White House until now.
I think they should give us some so we could test it out and report to everybody how it is.
I think they should build a pipeline directly to my house so that I can test it out and, you know, check that out. So this weekly Wednesday recipe essentially gives you the opportunity to check out a different recipe coming from the veteran and military community every week. And we've had like a Black Rifle Coffee gave us a recipe for some sort of coffee dessert or something like that. No, muddled mint iced coffee. So it is kind of a minty iced coffee dessert that came from them. President JFK's New England fish chowder, coffee steak rub.
Mm. I don't know about that. Oh, that sounds good, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. But then again, I keep trying to push one of my favorite recipes that they keep saying no to, which is very simple. It's great for the veteran on the go. Egg noodles. You boil them. 8 minutes. That's all it takes. You bring it to a boil, put in the egg noodles for 8 minutes. And you put the egg noodles in a bowl. You put some butter in there. Only like a quarter stick of butter at most. Stir it around. Get the noodles all buttery. And then some A1 steak sauce. Drizzle that on top. Stir that around. Oh, magnifique, as the French must say. And I'm sure they do. If the French are not eating this yet, they will be someday. It's going to happen. So, that's the menu I keep pushing. You may see it on there someday. And the picture will be me with a big bowl of my A1 noodles, as I call them, because they're number one noodles.
That's right. I just sent to Abby and Mac a link to the VA's, one of the VA's YouTube pages. They actually put out recipes, healthy recipes. So we may start putting some of those up as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of great things out there, and that's our job. That's what we are doing constantly, trying to help out the veteran community, give you information that can be of use or information or entertainment to you even. Like, we try to put out some good stuff. Like, hey, this is kind of cool. Like, did you know they make this beer at the White House?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm making it at my house. And there's a whole bunch more. You've got your news, your national security. We all know about, there's a lot of things going on. We always try to take the veteran angle on the website.
Yeah.
We've also got some stories that we've kind of been at the forefront of. One, we mentioned earlier today, Grunt Style going to Woodsboro, Texas. Mm-hmm. Not one that a lot of the media covered. Hey, we did, and that's why a whole bunch of people are paying attention. Also, a whole bunch of people paying attention to the Mare Island Cemetery.
Yeah.
So our reporter, Matt Sainsing, covers Capitol Hill and other things because we're not, none of us is a one-trick pony here. You know, I finish this show, I go write articles, I do interviews with people and stuff like that. So he did the article on the Mare Island Naval Cemetery. It's out in California, at the first naval installation ever on the West Coast. And it was shut down.
Yeah.
In years ago, I think it was in the 90s that it was shut down. The cemetery, which held something like three or four Medal of Honor recipients, one of which was for combat heroism. Mm-hmm. The other ones, it was a different era. The Medal of Honor was kind of given out to a lot of people back in the late 19th century, early 20th century. Because of our reporting, some veterans groups have gone out there and are starting to put that cemetery back together.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's really awesome. And that's the kind of thing that we like to see. And it's the kind of thing that we like to do. If you go and look at the website right now, your top stories include, would you have been drafted for the Vietnam War? There's a digital lottery that tells you.
I put mine in, and it comes out with, for 1970, if you would have been drafted in 1970. And had I been born 4 days earlier, well, 4 days earlier and a few years earlier, to be completely honest, I would have been drafted. So, yeah, my draft number would have been 220, I think it was, and it would have come up had I been born 4 days earlier and had been the right age, of course.
So the story gives you a link to this calculator. It looks like it was created by USA Today, called Would Your Draft Number Have Been Called? And what it says is, on December 1st, 1969, the United States held its first draft lottery. So almost exactly 10 years before I was born, this happened. I was born in November 29th, 1979.
Did you still have to register for the draft?
Me?
Okay. I didn't know when they stopped that. I had to register for it.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Selective service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I had to do that.
Okay.
I thought you meant during Vietnam.
No.
I was like, no, Jonathan.
I wasn't even old enough during Vietnam.
A couple years before I was born. I thought you were too old for Vietnam. Take that.
Today I'm too old.
So in 1969, the United States held its first draft lottery, gave young men a random number corresponding to their birthdays. Lower numbers were called first and told to report to induction centers where they could be ordered into active duty and possibly sent to Vietnam. If you'd been born in 1950, what would your draft number have been? Enter your birthday below to find out. So I put mine in. November 29th, your draft number, 99.
Ooh.
If your birthday was just one day earlier, your draft number would not have been called.
So your draft number would have been called.
Yes.
Ah.
There you go.
There you go.
Or I could have just joined the military.
Right.
Some people did that. Actually, a lot of people figured, you know, if I join the Navy, then I'm not going to be on the ground. I'm going to be out at sea. Of course, that wasn't necessarily the case. You had your Navy Special Forces that were on the ground. The predecessors to the SEALs, the UDT and BUDS teams, they were on the ground. The Riverines, you had the Navy patrol boats. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Apocalypse Now? Ford Coppola's masterpiece about Vietnam. And actually, it's really just a retelling of Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness, featuring Martin Sheen and Marlon Brando. The boat that Martin Sheen's character spends most of the movie on, it's a Navy boat.
Yeah.
The guy in charge of it is a chief. Everybody else are like petty officers and seamen who are doing their things. So, yeah, apparently I would have been drafted in 1970.
Ugh.
9 years before I was born, so I don't know how effective I would have been.
But I was still just a child.
Yeah, yeah, You remember this. I was only around in the 70s for like a month, but I guess it was a pretty good time.
I remember disco. I remember burning records. My brother did not like disco.
Oh, Disco Demolition Night?
Yeah, I remember all that. I mean, I loved it.
That became a bit of a debacle out there, where they're like, hey, let's just bring people and have them explode and blow up disco records. It kind of grew a little bit more than they thought it would. So that's just another example of the stories on connectingvets.com. Also, we have stories on the great things that our sponsors are doing, because at ConnectingVets.com, we don't just go for any sponsor. We're not just looking for like, oh, these guys got money. Let's get them. Let's have them be on here. We look for people who are also involved in the veteran community, like Freedom Mortgage, mm-hmm. who's giving out, you know, they not giving out. I shouldn't put it that way. But they are, I believe, the largest mortgage giver to the veteran community. VA loans included, Harley mm-hmm. Davidson motorcycles. Again, we're hoping we hear from Adam Sandoval. If it doesn't happen today, it will happen in the very near future. So don't worry too much about that. But Harley Davidson motorcycles is doing amazing things for veterans. Yeah. I ride a Harley. I'm a proud Harley owner and a 2011 Fat Boy Low. Started buying it in the process while I was in Afghanistan. It mm-hmm. was my welcome home present to myself, because I kind of just had money to burn. I had no idea that within just, I guess 2 years or so after I started ordering it, I would have a child that I need to look after. But the Harley Davidson, I still have it, still love it. It's actually in the shop right now, going through its service that was heavily needed after a few years of commuting on it into New York City. They, for one thing, if you go on a deployment, Jonathan, so mm-hmm. let's say, they call you back in. They say, Jonathan, the Navy needs you again. Yep. You're coming back and you're going on an IA to Afghanistan or Iraq. If that happens, you can store your bike at your local Harley Davidson dealership for free.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal, because it's hard to store motorcycles if you don't own a house with a garage. Oftentimes, if you're going for a year, you have to give up the lease on your apartment, because mm-hmm. otherwise you're going to have to, you're going to have to pay for that apartment for the full time that you're gone. So not only do they store those bikes for free, they also extend your warranty for the amount of time that you're gone.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so if you have 1 year left on your warranty and you're going on deployment for a year and you're like, well, man, there you go. My warranty is gone. I mm-hmm. guess if anything happens when I get back. Nope, not if you store it with Harley Davidson. Then that year gets put on pause, essentially, until you get back, and then the clock starts up again. So really doing great things there. Also offering the Harley Davidson riding course, $99 for a veteran. That's a course that's worth $300 plus. Minimum, depending on where you are and where you live, $99. And yes, it does qualify for the required motorcycle training course that most, if not all, states have. University of Maryland, University College, another one of our fantastic sponsors out there. They're part of the University of Maryland system, but they're their own separate mm-hmm. entity and do a lot of great things for vets. I knew this from when I was in the military.
Yeah.
There were plenty of people taking courses through UMUC. They had their campus, quote unquote, that they would have overseas, where they had actual professors on bases overseas. Yeah. A lot of great things that they're doing for the active duty military and for veterans. And also United Rentals, who is the newest sponsor that we've brought on board, who, hey man, need a rental? United Rentals. There you go.
That's really
about all you need to know. And having gone through some other rental companies for trucks and things like that, we went through one when we moved. I don't want to talk bad on any company because, I just don't need to name names, essentially.
Karma.
But
karma.
If you want to haul something, this is a company that you might go to if you want to haul things.
If you want to haul.
So we had ordered months in advance a certain size truck.
Mm-hmm.
The day before we're supposed to leave, my wife goes to pick up that certain size truck. Oh, no, we don't have that. Well, how about the next smaller size? Oh, we don't have that either. What about the trailer for the motorcycle? No, we don't have that. We put in these reservations months earlier. We're told, okay, yeah, it'll be there. And then we show up. They don't have it. It's right around the corner from our house. We thought, this is great. It's convenient. Mm-hmm. She ends up having to take a $100 cab ride out to this another place. And then they say, well, no, we don't have any of those trucks either. So it was a debacle. It cost us an extra couple $100s and was... it's just not a good thing. So when it comes to renting equipment, renting, vehicles, well, actually, they do trucks and trailers at United Rentals, welders and accessories, pumps, power and HVAC,
so
aerial work
platforms. Pretty much anything you need.
Oh, if you have a job to get done,
yeah,
United Rentals is where you want to go, man. Not only do they have the moving trucks and things like that, let's say, Jonathan, you and your husband, you guys buy a plot of land someplace mm-hmm. and you say, we're going to start Shea Copanger. It will be our retreat. Or you're going to start some weird cult out there.
That's probably more to the point.
Yeah, a cult where everybody wears colorful socks every day. And that's the only requirement. They have like earth movers, like equipment, like bulldozers and stuff like that. You can get those from them. So every sort of thing that you could possibly need, United Rentals does it. And, there are a lot of people who served in the military, you like to take care of things on their own. They like the DIY stuff. Well, hey, United Rentals is certainly a place where you can go to do that. So a fantastic team of sponsors, but again, a fantastic website and fantastic social media. We are at Connecting Vets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. We're on all the big ones, and we are continuing to do what we can to reach out to the community and get that information out there because, yeah, we've got a lot of people checking out our website. We've got a lot of people looking at a lot of great things, but if you're not if you're not aware of it, we need more people looking at it, essentially. There's a few million veterans in this country. We need every veteran to know what we're doing on this website, man. Every single one.
Well, I have a question for you, and you're not one to shy away from giving an opinion. And this I wrote an article about this a few months ago, but it's been coming back, and the VA's been hounding me. I shouldn't say hounding me. Yeah, they've been hounding me to bring it back up again. And animal testing.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on animal testing, specifically dog testing going on at the VA?
So I love dogs. We had two dogs, as I've talked about recently. We recently lost one of our dogs, my Chihuahua that my wife had for 16 years. They were very close. I wasn't very close with the Chihuahua, but still, it was a part of our family, and it's now gone.
Yeah.
It's very sad. I love dogs. I like people, though. And when it comes to animal testing, there are different types. There are the types that end with the death of the animal.
Yeah.
There are times that end with the animal being crippled for the rest of its life. Mm-hmm. That I'm not okay with. But if we're talking about testing where it may be, it has the possibility of being unpleasant for a short period of time on the animal, but then the animal is able to recover from that and live a good normal life. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
I don't know.
If it can save someone, if it leads to a breakthrough that may help my son save my son's life or something like that, yes, I'm okay with
it. And that's the thing, is that there have been some real significant breakthroughs that have been done with specifically on dog testing on dogs. And so I don't know. I'm with you. I love dogs. I married a vegetarian who doesn't eat meat solely because of what he believes is the unethical treatment of animals. So in my household, it's a very one-sided on this, but I'm going to do some research. We're going to put something out today and see what our fellow veterans feel on this.
There's a guy, I saw a link, I think Fox News had an interview with him. He's a veteran who lost both of his legs.
Yeah.
Joe Torres, maybe something like that. He was saying that he wants it to stop immediately. He wants it to go away.
I'm actually going to pull some information from him. He did a op-ed about a week after Secretary Shulkin did an op-ed in USA Today about this. And so I'm pulling some information from both of them. I'm just trying to put this out, try to do it as even as possible, which is going to be very difficult for me because I'm very much on one side.
Yeah. Joey Bear? Johnny Joey Jones. Oh, my goodness.
We knew there was a J in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, there's three of them. So he talks about dogs being shamefully abused. There were incidents. The reason this story came up, nobody really seemed to know that the VA was doing this kind of thing. The story came up because there was some mistakes made during the testing, which didn't kill any animals, to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, it did.
It did?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't think that it did.
Yeah.
I thought that it was like it just caused some extreme unpleasantness for them, but I didn't know that it killed them. Still, if some breakthrough is made where it would save my son or another child or someone like that, or one of my fellow veterans, one of our warriors on the battlefield or wherever, I mean, listen, if it comes down to it, I love dogs. But if something happens and I have to choose between our dog, Walker, who I love very much, he's a fantastic dog, a sweet dog, and my son, easy choice. Easy choice. It's not a moment's hesitation.
Yep.
Do what you can to save both of them, but the child comes first. So that's kind of, I expand that when it comes to animal testing. No, I don't want them just killing dogs for no reason. Can we do this with, does it have to be a healthy dog? Can we wait until a dog dies naturally and then do the things this way? But if it leads to some breakthroughs, I'm okay. I'm okay with testing. Hopefully that is pain-free for the animals and certainly doesn't kill the animals or is something that they can fully recover from. Yeah, I'm okay for that. When it gets to the point where it might end the animal's life, I'm not as okay with that. But again, it depends on what the results are.
What about this? There's one VA medical center, and I'm not going to say the name yet, but I will in my article, where they said, okay, we've got these five dogs that we're doing testing on, but we're going to put them up for adoption afterwards. Hmm. But only two were actually put up for adoption. What do you think about that?
Well, what happened to the other three? Were they, did they die?
You'll have to look at the article to see.
I'll have to find out. You know, we rescued our dog Walker, which a lot of people come across him. He's some sort of hound mix. He's a beautiful dog. And people often ask, like, oh, did you get him from a breeder? Did you get him? No, we found this amazing, beautiful dog at a rescue shelter when we were living on Long Island that was being shut down. Essentially, they lost their lease. The owner of the strip mall they were in, it was kind of an odd location, said, you know, we're taking your lease away. And we had lost another of our dogs months before, and we decided it was time to get a new one. We went over. I think people think of rescue dogs and adopting a dog as you get kind of these mutts with like one eye bigger than the other. And some of them are like that, but this was a beautiful dog. Cost a little more because it was under a year old, but I think it's great. If they did that, fantastic. Yeah. But what happened to those other three dogs would be the question that comes up to me. But again, I put people before animals. I do.
We have two dogs. They're both rescues. One of my dogs, Ted, a little pit bull, has had cancer. He's had cancer for about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
He takes 7 pills a day. We have to give him 7 pills a day. Two of those pills were created from dog animal testing. I'm not sure for dogs specifically, but animal testing. Hmm. So it's really this horrible thing inside my head because my little buddy Ted needs these pills to stay alive. Yet some of these pills were developed by testing on animals, which of course drives my husband crazy. But this is his dog, so again, kind of mixed. I don't have an answer on this one.
You know, here's the question that I would have for someone like Johnny Joey Jones. Three J's, man, that's a name. Joey Jones, I believe, is what he goes by. Is, you know, are you out there also protesting kill shelters? Because those are dogs that are being put to death without any benefit to society. Dogs that are put to death just because, well, nobody wants them right now, and we don't have space for all of them, so that's what we're going to do. Whereas a dog that may die from testing, there is a benefit to society. I mean, here, it's a difficult thing. And, you know, I've actually turned some people around on hunting. I have hunted in the past. Again, not trophy hunting necessarily, but for meat. We always ate the meats. Just like when I go fishing, I'm not trying to catch a fish to put it up on the wall. I'm trying to catch a fish so I can have some fish. The thing about hunting is, you know, when people talk about, oh, it's barbaric and you're shooting this animal with a bow. I'm not a bow hunter. I've used shotgun and rifle. Uh-huh. That's all I've ever used. You're killing this animal. It goes through pain. And the question that I would bring up to them is, what's the other option for that animal? How do you think they die in the wild? Do you think that a deer just all of a sudden, oh, I guess it's time, and lays down and dies? No, almost every deer that dies, they get older, they get slower, and predators are then able to get them. Yeah. That's what takes them down. They are eaten alive. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have bang, you're gone?
I feel like singing Circle of Life right now.
It's a circle of life. That's my best Elton John impression. It's one of those things, like, I love animals. I truly do. I love going to aquariums. I love going to zoos. And again, there are people who would say I'm evil for that.
So. See, I don't like going to aquariums. I don't like going to zoos. I like going to just, if it's...
You want the animal to have a shot at killing you?
That's no, well, no, but I want to see the animal in the natural, in the as natural setting as possible. And again, I was part of the opening crew for Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
So I've seen a good way of doing it. People may say have things that they can say negatively about Disney. I can as well. But I know the animals there were treated well, and they're kind of like, they're roaming free as you can be in captivity.
I think there's a difference between good and bad places like that. I mentioned earlier when I was stationed over in Sicily, they had a water park there that was combined with a zoo.
Yeah.
This zoo was upsetting. Yeah. One, there were like little wooden fences like you might see along a yard in the Northeast with some chicken wire behind them. And on the other side of that chicken wire was like a tiger.
Yeah. It was like, no, thank you.
If this animal ever figures out how strong it is, you may have some problems here. There were bears that looked emaciated. That was very upsetting. But, you know, when I go to places in the United States, typically the zoos here, there are regulations that they need to follow, and they're done pretty well.
For the most part.
And again, most of the animals at those zoos, most of the animals at aquariums, I know people have a lot of issues with SeaWorld. I get it. Most of those animals are essentially rescues that are brought in, brought back to health. And in the case of like the killer whales, like Tilikum and all those, once you bring them back in and bring them back to health. They would have died out at sea. You bring them back to health. You've also changed their behaviors. And if they go back out into the wild, they're going to die. They're not going to have people feeding them anymore because they've been there for a few years. It's going to be a remarkably unpleasant way to go. I think there are arguments for both sides, and I am happy to listen to those arguments. And sometimes I agree with the people who are more extreme on animal loving versus the people like me who are more pragmatic. Like, hey, it can help out people. Let's do it. Except for PETA. I don't listen to anything those people say. Those people are out of their minds.
And they just did something recently where I don't want to get into it, but they did something. Even my husband is anti-PETA right now. And
I think the more people find out about PETA, the less they like PETA. I've talked about it before. Fascinating documentary called I Am an Animal, which is about Ingrid Newkirk, who is one of the co-founders of PETA, who then took it in a more militant direction than the other. They came from Greenpeace, essentially, is where PETA evolved out of. The other people that she started it with, she said they weren't militant enough and basically forced them out and built it in her own image. And that is the image of a crazy person, a legitimate crazy person. Watch that documentary, which was done by someone who went in hoping to show her in a positive light. And the person has talked about this and has said, like, listen, I wasn't trying to make her look bad. This is just how it came out.
Real.
And I was hoping to go in and capture her and hoping it would be positive. And to her credit, the one thing I will say to Miss Newkirk's credit, she was just fine with being portrayed the way she was. She was like, oh, no, that's who I am. That's what I believe. Huh? So then you watch it and think, oh, what a crazy person. What an awful organization. She's fine that you think that. It's there. Animal testing, though, a serious issue, and one of those that Jonathan Kopanger will be writing about here very shortly. Check out that and everything else at connectingvets.com and follow us on social media. We are at Connecting Vets on all the big four. I'm Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer, and we'll be back with a Friday show tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.